This program is intended for a print impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Boylston and Bolton. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from Berlin, Bolton, Boylston, Clinton, Lancaster, Stirling, and West Boylston. Today we will be reading from the June 12th edition of the Clinton Item. All articles, unless otherwise noted, are by Jan Gottesman, editor of the Clinton Item. This is Peter Wilson. Graduation season brings smiles. Neshoba Regional High School held its graduation at the DCU Center in Worcester on Sunday, June 7th. A complete list of graduates will appear in the June 19th Clinton Item and are online at www.clintonitem.com. The Clinton High Class of 2026 graduated June 6th in Central Park. Class officers were Grace Alvarado, President, Taylor Thomason, Vice President, Jameson Breer, Secretary, and Kathleen Perus, Treasurer. Valedictorian Thomas Bates, salutatorian Adriana Monegro, and high honor students Jaden Braga and Davis Fajoni spoke. Principal Scott Zermack, school committee member Brendan Bailey, and Superintendent Stephen Meyer spoke, with Meyer's comments translated into Spanish and Portuguese by family outreach liaison Nanny Manuz. A complete list of graduates can be seen online at www.clinton.com. Wachusett Regional High School held its commencement exercises on Thursday, June 4th at the DCU Center in Worcester. 432 students were members of the graduating class. Summer Statey, Vice President of the Class of 2026, led the Pledge of Allegiance, and Nathan Sloan, Class President, welcomed everybody. Superintendent of Schools James Riley congratulated seniors on their hard work, after which student speakers Sidney Marshall and Maren Paquette offered their thoughts. Principal Michael Pratt addressed the class and presented awards, including honoring four retiring teachers. Linda Woodland, chair of the Wachusett Regional School Committee, then completed the certification of the class, and Pratt and Riley presented the diplomas. Class officers were President Nathan Sloan, Vice President Summer Statey, Secretary Abigail Blechner, and Treasurer Maxime Rabkin. A complete list of graduates is available online at www.clintonitem.com. Tahanto Regional High School held its graduation on June 7. The president is Matthew Dowd, who is also the salutatorian. Vice president is Claire Lozeratis. Secretary is Elise Schaffer, who is also the valedictorian and student council president. Treasurer is Brendan Lee, and Iris Pinto is historian. Graduate Elizabeth Choquer sang the national anthem. Superintendent Albert Ganem Jr., the interim who is leaving after 2 years in the position, and retiring faculty member Steve Pacheco spoke, as did Principal Richard Cameron. School committee member Elizabeth Mancini awarded her daughter Juliana her diploma, while former school committee member and athletic director Julie Lee awarded the diploma to her son Brendan. A complete list of graduates can be seen online at www.clintonitem.com. Our next article is entitled West Boylston Pursues Grant for New Officer by Ken Cleveland. The police department may be adding another officer in West Boylston, but like similar colleagues in other communities, their job will be to provide comfort as opposed to tracking or other typically canine duties. The select board June 3rd got details on the possibility and a grant that could fund the comfort dog. Many police departments have comfort dogs, which act as ambassadors in the community and the schools. They also put their people skills to work in helping first responders who deal with traumatic situations. Acting Police Chief Thomas Balvin said the potential $10,000 annual grant would fund the dog's expenses, with the exception of food, which is estimated at $74 a month. After 3 years, the department could seek a new grant. The dog would live with and eventually belong to the officer chosen as its handler. But the board put off a decision in order to get more information, including on liabilities and insurance. The delay is not going to affect the program, since the grant process is also being delayed as the district attorney's office completes federal paperwork for the grants. Members asked about getting permission to bring the dog into venues such as schools, noting some could be allergic. Acting Sergeant Matthew Seymour said they already bring dogs in, though those are accompanied by their handlers. "We got a lot of positive feedback from the 5 Fridays so far, and also bringing them to recess as well," Seymour said. "There is certain training and certifications the dog must achieve," Seymour said. "A comfort dog is a great thing. I think it would be an unbelievable resource here," newly elected board member Michael Connors said. "We're pretty dog friendly," Balvin said. "We're all looking forward to it being in the station." In many towns, the dogs fill roles based in the school, and in others are part of the police or fire departments. Denny is one of the most popular officers in Bolton, for instance. He's a hit wherever Officer Casey McCarthy brings him. From community events to the schools, in her role as school resource officer, Berlin has 2 dogs. Jax is part of the police department with his own stuffed mini Jax they sell as a fundraiser. And Fia is part of the fire department. In our next article, Bailey, Cobus win Clinton seats. Voters say no to library. The select board will have a new member, as challenger Brendan Bailey was the top vote-getter at the June 8th election to earn 1 of the 2 seats on the select board. The other seat went to incumbent Matt Cobus. Both seats are for 3 years. The 2 defeated incumbent, Sean Kerrigan, and challenger Deborah Goodsell. Bailey received 945 votes and Cobus 878, with Kerrigan receiving 819 and Goodsell receiving 791 in preliminary results. "I'm honored and humbled by the trust the voters of Clinton have placed in me," Cobus said after the results were announced. "Thank you to everyone who took the time to ask questions, share concerns, and to cast their votes. Serving this community has always been one of the greatest privileges of my life. As I begin another term, I remain committed to leading with transparency, accountability, objectivity, and a focus on what is best for all residents and taxpayers," he added. "I would like to thank all the candidates who put their names on the ballot this year. Running for office takes courage, commitment, and a desire to serve the community. I appreciate their willingness to participate in the democratic process and wish them all the best moving forward." Bailey also thanked those who voted and participated in our democratic process. "Thank you to those who held signs, reached out to the community, or allowed me to put a sign in their yard. Congratulations to Matt, and thank you to Sean and Deb for a fair and honest campaign and your years of dedicated service to the town of Clinton," Bailey added. "I look forward to working with the select board and town administrator to best serve the residents and businesses in Clinton." The election on June 8th also featured an override to construct a new library on Chestnut Street, which failed to receive a required 2/3 majority at the June 1st annual town meeting. The voters were in favor of the new library at the town meeting, just not enough to approve the question. But at the election, the project was defeated, 1,168 votes to 752. To approve a borrowing question like this, a yes vote is needed at both a town meeting and an election. The project Total cost was announced at $24,800,000. The state made a grant of $11,300,000, which put Clinton's contribution at $13,500,000. There were some holes on the ballot. There were 2 3-year seats on the school committee, but only incumbent Tina Zapontis' name appears on the ballot. The top write-in candidate was Ed DeVault, according to town clerk Holly Sargent. There were 2 3-year seats on Parks and Recreation, with only incumbent Ryan Roulard on the ballot, and Dave Kaiser as the top write-in candidate. For an empty 1-year seat on the Library Trustees Board, Justin Akremi was the top write-in. Others running on the Clinton ballot uncontested, or for an open seat that could be filled by a write-in candidate, were moderator 1 year, incumbent Terrence Ingano, solicitor 3 years, incumbent Robert Gibbons, town clerk 3 years, Becky Schoolcraft, Board of Health 3 years, Michael Donovan, library trustee 2 3-year seats, incumbents Jill Ashton and Christina Gagliardi, Housing Authority 5 years, incumbent William McGrail, and Planning Board 5 years, incumbent Douglas Price. Our next article is submitted by Blanca Brusso of the Clinton High School. Alum returns to thank retiring ESL teacher. Walking the hallways of Clinton High School on June 2nd, Officer Macon McDowell looked perfectly at home. It's a familiar routine for McDowell, who previously returned to his alma mater in 2012 and 2024 to connect with current students. On this day, his mission was just as vital as he stepped through the doors once again, and this time he brought a special surprise. McDowell entered the classroom carrying a bouquet of flowers and a card dedicated to his former teacher, Blanca Brusso, who will be retiring at the end of the school year. A 2009 CHS graduate and native of Brazil, McDowell learned English in the school's English as a Second Language program under the guidance of Brusso and Brenda Seymour. June 2nd, he was back in the classroom to honor that foundation and pass the torch to a new generation of English learners. Now a police officer for the Marlboro Police Department, McDowell shared his journey from a high school ESL student to a soldier in the U.S. Army, and ultimately to a career in law enforcement. Having served for years in Florida, where his work as an officer even featured on the hit documentary series On Patrol Live, McDowell noted that while laws change from state to state, the core values of communication and community remain the same. Throughout his talk, McDowell continually circled back to the tool that unlocked his own future, language. Learn the language, speak the language, it will get you out of trouble, McDowell told the students, urging them to dive headfirst into mastering English. He also offered a powerful reminder about identity. Don't be ashamed of your accent. That is who you are. However, he didn't shy away from tough love, challenging the students to push past their comfort zones. If you've been here for more than 5 years and you still don't understand English, you are hanging around the wrong people, he advised, emphasizing the importance of building self-confidence, making new friends, and breaking out of isolated social circles. Drawing on his law enforcement background, McDowell gave the students practical advice on navigating a new country and culture. Know all the laws here, he said. Be sure you get acclimated to the laws in the United States and in Massachusetts. Laws vary from state to state. He added a modern warning for the digital age. Be careful of what you do. Be careful of what you click. Be careful of where you put your eyes. The students engaged McDowell with eager questions about military life, television fame, and the steps required to become a police officer. McDowell offered practical advice about the future, warning them not to get trapped by rigid expectations. Don't be a slave to your own goals or careers, he said. You can still make choices and change your life around. Turning to the classroom dry erase board, McDowell demonstrated how he maps out his own life, visually showing the students how to break down big dreams into actionable steps. Write your goals down on paper, he said. Write them by years, months, weeks, days. Plan. If this doesn't work out, I'll do this. Have a plan B. McDowell left the students with a final mantra that has guided him from his days in Brazil to the streets of Marlborough. If you learn one thing, learn how to adapt and overcome. In the real world, you will need to learn how to adapt and overcome. Never give up. McDowell lives in Massachusetts with his wife and two children, continuing to serve the local region, both on and off duty. Our next article is entitled, Oakdale Church Celebrates 175th Year Together, submitted by Pastor Reverend Cheryl Meechan. From West Boylston, this year marks the 175th anniversary of the people called Methodist in West Boylston, organizing as a church together. On May 24th, Oakdale United Methodist Church celebrated Pentecost and Aldersgate Day, as well as its 175th anniversary. The church welcomed six new members. Jane Erickson, 100 years old, played the piano along with the music director. Erickson and Betty Hendrickson, who has been an active member for 77 years, cut the cake. They welcomed Reverend David Hill, who served the church from 1974 to 1985, as well as District Superintendent Megan Stowe, for the weekend-long celebration. Saturday's fair included craft vendors, a bake table, new breaking bread church cookbooks, church merch clothing items, and music, including an old-timey sing-along. In 1851, the people called Methodist established a congregation in Oakdale and met in Freedom Hall until 1858, when the membership outgrew the hall. They built this church on land deeded to them by William Thomas at a cost of $5,000, which was dedicated in 1859. The Methodist Church first ordained women 70 years ago. The church has had 69 pastors in 175 years, and the first woman pastor that served at Oakdale was Reverend Barbara Herber from 1986 to 1989. Since 1986, eight pastors have served at Oakdale, six of whom were women. West Boylston transitions to new trash system by Ken Cleveland. The town's new trash program is nearing activation, with cart delivery to homes expected to be completed by June 12th and ready to use once delivered. Interim Town Administrator Carter Terenzini said the carts would be delivered on the same day trash is normally picked up at each home, with about 500 delivered each day. Residents may begin using the carts immediately after they are delivered, he told the Select Board June 3rd. The delivery will include a flyer on how to place them and use them. Those eligible can apply for senior discounts and request smaller carts. The good news is that the bags do end. If you have them, you can use them until June 30th or after instead of other bags, but they cannot be returned for refunds, he said. The objective is to have people live with the system for a few months, then have a public forum and get comments on any improvements they can make. In other business in West Boylston, the town is submitting a grant to improve ADA access on the town common, though Terenzini said the town had tried last year and did not get it. Carter suggested seeking more from the State Office of Disabilities grant this year, $9,000, as costs have risen. The board approved the intermunicipal agreement with Shrewsbury on shared public health services. It was part of reorganizing health services after the former alliance that included Worcester was dissolved. In addition, a 1975 Jeep Kaiser tanker truck that has been out of service and without brakes attracted the interest of someone on the state bidding site. So Fire Chief Mark Sadowski got the board's formal permission to declare the old fire truck surplus so it could be sold. The bid of $5,325 gets it moved on to a new owner and clears space as the town receives a new fire engine, which was a three-year construction process. The town may take action against Humboldt Masters LLC for a material breach of its host community agreement. The board, after back-and-forth discussions with CEO Andrew Kazakoff, received a commitment by Kazakov to provide the required documents, planning to revisit the issue in 2 weeks. Terezini said that the board had previously determined that Humboldt was not in compliance with its agreement, with several notices requesting needed documents. Among complaints are those regarding smells at the Shrewsbury Street location. In addition, with the town election complete and a new member, Michael Connors, joining the select board, and the board was reorganized, with Vanessa Kuzminovsky as chair, Connors as vice chair, and David Ashwell as clerk. With the board voting those officers, former chair Christina Pedoni asked Kuzminovsky, "Do you want to run the rest of the meeting?" "No, I think you should for the last one," Kuzminovsky responded. "That's great. I'll run the rest of the meeting. That means we'll go completely out of order," Pedoni said, known for jumping around the agenda items. From Clinton, Clinton officials sign town administrator contract by Ken Cleveland. Though the fine points were approved by the select board and incoming town administrator Karen Clark, the board had a hiccup in the process, just as the town headed to an election that could change the makeup of the board. The contract had not been signed by the June 4th meeting. The election on June 8th did change the makeup of the board, with Brenton Bailey replacing Sean Kerrigan. That could change the votes. The contract had been approved by the previous sitting board in executive session, but not yet voted on in open session. That's required for town administrator contracts, town solicitor Robert Gibbons told the board. But taking that vote at the June 4th meeting was not the simple finale. Member Bill Connolly Jr. said he had a concern since the approval of the contract was not on the board's agenda, raising a question on compliance with the state's open meeting law. With that question lingering, the board could vote it at a future meeting. Two of the members who approved the contract were on the ballot, with only Matt Kobus retaining his seat. A change in members could complicate the process. Yet formal voting of the contract on June 4th could run afoul of the open meeting law. While the Attorney General's office might be swayed by the fact the board had voted on the contract and had given updates in public along the way, along with news coverage, the technical omission could put the contract in jeopardy. Gibbons suggested the board could vote on the contract and then ratify it at the June 7th meeting. So the board voted to approve the contract, with Connolly voting against it, but saying he would recognize the board's decision in a ratification vote. Member Mary Rose Dickhout voted against, as she had when the board had initially voted to hire Clark. Members Julie Peruse, Kerrigan, and Kobus again voted to approve the contract. Peruse said they and Clark signed the contract dated June 4th, providing a copy of the signed contract to the item. The board agreed to ratify the contract at the scheduled June 17th meeting. Gibbons said at the time if there were new members, they could abstain so that only members involved in the process prior to the election would be voting on the contract they had negotiated. If the contract hits a bump, it could have ripple effects on those involved. Town Administrator Michael Ward has already submitted his resignation, effective June 20th, and signed a contract to start work as Wes Boylston's town administrator on June 22nd. Clark has also prepared for her transition from Millbury's town manager, with Millbury in the process of searching for a replacement. Our next article is entitled Lancaster Busy with Activities June 12th through the 21st. The town of Lancaster has a busy couple of weekends of events, starting with Lancaster Day, which was held June 12th. Lancaster Day is a community celebration that showcases Lancaster's businesses, resident-owned businesses, local organizations, and the many town departments, committees, and boards that serve the community. The following weekend continues the activities. The townwide yard sale, hosted by Lancaster Recreation, is Saturday, June 20th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. This will be followed up by the Lancaster Land Trust's free give or take on Sunday, June 21st, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the town green. Bring items someone can use or pick up something you can use. Bring a tarp or blanket for your items for a $20 deposit. Return at 4 p.m. for anything left and you get your deposit refunded. For information, email info@lancasterlandtrust.org. The Land Trust is also hosting a tire drop-off on the town green Saturday and Sunday, June 20th and 21st, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Lancaster residents only can drop off 10 tires for free, no rims. The sponsor is the Central Mass Mosquito Control Project. For information, email info@lancasterlandtrust.org or call Susan Munyon, 978-764-0520. And Cub Scout Pack 9 is hosting a can collection on Saturday and Sunday, June 20th and 21st, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the First Church portico to support the pack's activities. The First Church Strawberry Festival, a Lancaster tradition for over 100 years, is Sunday, June 21st, from 5 to 7:30 p.m. on the First Church lawn. In addition to fresh strawberry desserts served outdoors, there will be live bluegrass music with the free-range pickers. The festival is rain or shine. Sterling celebrates America on Saturday, June 20th. Vendors and businesses in Sterling are hosting Sterling Salutes America 250 on Saturday, June 20th. The event is all day for the businesses, but focused on the Sterling Street Market, which is open from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The rain date is Saturday, June 27th. Sterling Street Market will decorate the white fence around the town common with American flags and selling Sterling Salutes America 250 stickers. Many vendors will be offering patriotic items. Businesses confirmed to be taking part include Sterling and Maple Home, 40 Main Street, which will be offering special deals and savings, a summer basket raffle, and a lemonade stand in front of the building. No Town Goods, 11 Main Street, will hold a sidewalk sale at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with 10% off any Americana-themed display and patriotic-inspired merchandise and complimentary mini American flags with purchase while supplies last. Emma's Cafe, 37 Main Street, will offer a nostalgic American dessert, and D&D Liquidators, 33 Main Street, will have a sidewalk sale and sell cotton candy. The Clinton Summer Food Service begins June 22nd. Clinton Public Schools will run its summer food service June 22nd to August 13th. Grab-and-go meals will be provided at Acre Splash Pad on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 9 to 11 a.m. Participants will receive 2 days of breakfast and lunch on Mondays and Wednesdays, and one breakfast and lunch on Fridays. The program is open to everyone up to age 18. Food Services Director Beth Armstrong asked people to bring their own bags to carry the meals. For more information, contact Armstrong at 978-365-4200, extension 12234. The public is invited to a reading of the abolitionist speech in Sterling. A public reading of the speech, "What to the Slave is the Fourth of July," delivered in 1852 by abolitionist orator and former slave Frederick Douglass, will be publicly read on Sunday, June 28th, 11:30 a.m. on the Sterling Town Common. The rain location is the First Church in Sterling, 6 Meeting House Hill Road. Everyone who attends will be given a copy of the speech and invited to participate if they wish by coming to the microphone and reading a paragraph or two. A guest historian will briefly introduce Douglass and 1950s America to set the context beforehand and afterward lead a Q&A question session. The speech lasts 45 minutes. The formal program, background, reading, Q&A, will be no more than 90 minutes. Opportunity for a facilitated small group discussion, refreshments, and conversation will follow. The event is sponsored by the First Church in Sterling, Common Good Alliance Central Mass, and the Sterling Historical Society. It has received funding from the Sterling Cultural Council. For information, contact Barbara Dumont at barbaradumont@comcast.net. In our neighbor-to-neighbor news this week, student honors. From Bridgeport, Connecticut, Nova Staruk of West Boylston was named to the Spring President's List at University of Bridgeport. From Bridgewater, several local students were named to the Spring Dean's List at Bridgewater State University. Haley Barrett of Berlin, Rachel Moore, Rowan Noel, and Caitlin Oberg of Boylston, Jack Gannon of Clinton, Emily Quinn of Lancaster, and Sophia Johnson of West Boylston. From Hamden, Connecticut, several local residents were named to the Spring Dean's List at Quinnipiac University. Tyler Mignot and Callum Bond of Bolton, Erica Larson, Julia Parenteau, and Julia Rosenau, Julia with honors, from Clinton, and Andrew Allison and Sarah Pelletier from Lancaster. From Springfield, Jackson Caramanchia of Boylston was named to the Spring Dean's List at Western New England University. From Northfield, Vermont, Riley Laitala and Julie Turner of Sterling were named to the Spring Dean's List at Norwich University. From Springfield, local residents were named to the Spring President's List at Western New England University. Jackson Caramanchia of Boylston, Evan Atchue of West Boylston, and Christina Helena Vaval of Lancaster. From Fairfield, Connecticut, the item residents were named to the Spring Dean's List at Fairfield University. Annabella Biangini, Elena Gauss, and Gracie Mayer of Bolton. Jacob Ebert and Christopher Hamilton of Boylston. Lauren DiTullio and Cameron Richardson of Lancaster, and Georgia Galvin of West Boylston. And from Worcester, several local residents were named to the Spring Dean's List at Assumption University. Xylas Abney of West Boylston, Amanda Corvello of Sterling, Erica DeCourcy of Boylston, Mia DiMartino of Boylton, Thomas Foley of Sterling, Jennifer Indrasano of Berlin, Hannah Langevin of Boylston, Rose Lieber of Clinton, Sadie Mendez of Clinton, Jill Murray Wild of West Boylston, Chloe Nime of Boylston, Clara Pastroni of Sterling, Sophia Patrizzi of Lancaster, Lillian Petullo of Sterling, Connor Pillsbury of Sterling, Mia Rodriguez of Sterling, Zoe Rodriguez of Sterling, Luke Sandini of Berlin, Natalie Shuris of Sterling, Jenna Torini of Sterling, Peter Ward of Bolton, Brendan White of Sterling, and Callie Wolf of Clinton. From Clinton, J-Bill files layoff paperwork with state. J-Bill Incorporated has officially filed its WARN document about impending closure to the state. The filing was done on June 2nd, and indicated 103 employees will be impacted between August and December. The company has not responded to the item's requests for information since a spokesman confirmed the upcoming layoffs in March. J-Bill subsidiaries NIPRO Mold and NP Medical will continue to operate on the Clinton campus, a spokesman said in a statement printed in the March 6th item. After comprehensive review of our manufacturing footprint, business demand, and long-term strategic needs, we have made the difficult decision to wind down operations at our Clinton, Mass. Facility and consolidate production to our nearby Devens facility, according to a company spokesman. In obituary news, Ralph Valentine Fadiger, 88, a lifelong resident of Sargent Road in Bolton, passed peacefully on Saturday, June 6, 2026. He is survived by his beloved wife of 64 years, Juanita Mount Fadiger, a daughter, Linda Arsenault, and husband, Gary, a son, Ralph V. Sonny Fadiger, Jr., and partner Andy Case, and three grandsons, Zachary Arsenault and wife Crystal, Kurt Arsenault and girlfriend Jemmy Mendoza, and Craig Arsenault and girlfriend Catherine Nastari. He leaves his sister-in-law, Debbie Fadiger, generations of nieces and nephews, notably John Andrews and Bill Watson, extended family, and many dear friends, especially Eddie Oil Can Frisch, John Scholl, Kevin Kirby, and his colleagues at Philbin Cummo Funeral Home, and his canine companion, Stella. He is predeceased by his siblings, Erna Heinold, Elizabeth Andrews, Ruth Watson, Robert Fadiger, and John Fadiger. Son of German immigrants Valentin and Elise Steino Fadiger, Ralph was raised on the family farm in Bolton, where his work ethic and strong values were instilled from a young age. He graduated from the Houghton School in Bolton and Clinton High School class of 1955. Ralph proudly served our nation in the Massachusetts Army National Guard, assigned to Company A, 1st Tank Division, 110th Armored Division. Professionally, Ralph spent his successful 42-year career as an operating engineer with R.E. Chapman Company. Having drilled wells in most towns this side of the Mississippi, Ralph relished sharing an arsenal of memories from his storied career. He achieved numerous professional certifications and licensures in various states. A master crane operator and well-respected by his peers, Ralph was honored to be chosen among his fellow members of the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 4 to serve as a longtime instructor at the Local 4 Training Center. He cherished the opportunity to teach and provide his expert knowledge and guidance to countless operating engineers who remain on the job today. Blessed with a brilliant and mechanical mind, Ralph could fix anything as long as he could find the tools in his garage. The first to help another in need, Ralph served as foreman for many a home repair project of family members and friends, always reminding us of his famed advice to measure twice and cut once, and that water never runs uphill. For the past 25 years, Ralph has greeted countless guests and friends from the front door of the Philbin Cummo Funeral Home, where he served as a certified funeral assistant and proudly held the positions of chief hearse driver and manager of personnel operations. His presence and professionalism will be forever missed. Ralph was a man of great faith and longtime member of Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Acton. He was a charter member of the Bolton Lions Club and longtime member of the Clinton Elks Club. Among his hobbies, Ralph enjoyed many years in the golf leagues at Twin Springs, entertaining family and friends poolside at his home, and traveling the neighborhood on his John Deere tractor. Above all, Ralph will be forever remembered as a devoted family man, a loving husband, father, and grandfather. He was most proud of his children and grandsons, cheering them on alongside his soulmate, Juanita, from the 50-yard line of every game, milestone, and life achievement. The Fadiger family wish to thank Ralph's trusted physician, Dr. Christopher Bechara, and office staff, UMass Cardiology Department, Dr. Jennifer Walker, thoracic surgeon, Dr. Carl Yu, the dedicated nurses at the ICU at UMass Medical Center, University Campus, Central Massachusetts Physical Therapy, Leslie Allison and Kaylee McLaughlin, as well as his neighbors and friends, especially Bobby, Nicole, and Analia DeAngelis, for their continuous care, compassion, and friendship. Calling hours were held on Thursday, June 11th, in the Philbin Cummo Funeral Home. A funeral service was celebrated on Friday, June 12th, at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, Acton. Burial followed in Woodland Cemetery in Clinton. Memorial contributions may be made in Ralph's honor to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, 501 St. Jude Place, Memphis, Tennessee, 38105. Online condolences may be placed at www.philbincummofh.com. Sonia Dawn Zangarine, 38, died unexpectedly at home from natural causes on Wednesday, May 27th, following a decline in health. She is survived by her mother, Lisa A. Mallard, two sisters, Tracy Pagano and husband Daniel, and their children, Nico, Avery, and Jackson, and Jessica Mitchell and husband Brett and their children, Jeremy, Jasmine, Jacob, Ryan, Austin, and Tyler. Uncles and aunts, Billy Zangarine and Rosellen, David Zangarine and Sue, numerous cousins, extended family, and dear friends. She is predeceased by her father, Robert E. Zangarine. A proud veteran of the United States Military Corps, Sonia served our nation as a corporal in the Global War on Terrorism. Following her service, she dedicated herself to helping veterans in need and remained a devoted advocate for her fellow service members suffering from PTSD. Known for her adventurous spirit, Sonia was a talented athlete and a lover of the outdoors. Her many talents and hobbies included snowboarding, hiking, swimming, wakeboarding, softball, and running. A huge foodie and a skilled cook, Sonia knew all the best restaurants and always enjoyed a fine meal with her friends. She held a lifelong love for animals and was a proud dog mom. A lifelong student, Sonia had an affinity for learning and a curious mind. She was a graduate of the Hudson High School class of 2006 and Arizona State University class of 2010. She spent her professional career with Simplex Grinnell and later with NetScout. Above all, she was a loving daughter, trusted sister, proud aunt, and faithful friend. Calling hours were held on Tuesday, June 9th, in the McNally and Watson Funeral Home, Clinton. A massive Christian burial was celebrated on Wednesday, June 10th, at St. John the Evangelist Church in Clinton, with burial in St. John's Cemetery, Lancaster. Memorial contributions may be made in memory of Sonia D. Zangarine to Veterans, Inc., 69 Grove Street, Worcester, Mass., 01605. Online condolences may be placed at McNallyWatson.com. Jean-Paul Ernest Gerard Paget of South Lancaster passed away peacefully on Friday, June 5th, at the age of 90. He was born on August 1st, 1935, in Lowell. When he was 6 years old, his family moved to Fitchburg, where he grew up. He was predeceased by his father, Olivier A. Paget, his mother, Cecilia Cochinet Paget, his older brother, Leonard A. Paget, and his sister, a Carmelite nun of St. John of the Cross. He leaves his wife, Marilyn, a son, Dennis, and a son, Mark, and his wife, Paula. Jean-Paul and Marilyn would have celebrated their 63rd anniversary on June 30th. They met when they were music students at Boston University. Jean-Paul's musical talent was evident at an early age. The organist at Immaculate Conception in Fitchburg was Jean-Paul's first teacher and mentor. Jean-Paul began playing masses at age of 12. He was schooled in the French tradition and continued playing for the next 75 years in Boston, Berlin, Marlborough, Maynard, and finally at St. John the Guardian of Our Lady Parish in Clinton, where he retired. He graduated from Assumption Preparatory School in Worcester in 1953. He lost everything he owned in the June tornado of that year. He is mentioned in the book Tornado, 94 Seconds, 84 Lives, by John M. O'Toole. He graduated from Boston University School for Fine and Applied Arts in 1964. Jean-Paul and Marilyn were members of the BU Chorus when they sang on the stage of Symphony Hall for the 1962 Convocation of the World Health Organization. Eleanor Roosevelt was one of the speakers, and the event was televised on NBC. Jean-Paul taught middle school music in area school systems, Berlin-Boylston, Littleton, and Lunenburg. He produced and directed many musicals for his students. Jean-Paul and Marilyn enjoyed traveling to France during summer vacations. They especially enjoyed Paris with its many organ and piano recitals, and of course the incomparable French cuisine. They had many parties at home where they entertained their guests with music for two pianos. Jean-Paul was a kind and caring person, and he will be missed. Calling hours were held Wednesday, June 10th, at the Philbin Como Funeral Home in Clinton. A massive Christian burial was celebrated on Thursday, June 11th, at St. John the Evangelist Church in Clinton, with burial following in the Eastwood Cemetery, Lancaster. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to St. John the Guardian of Our Lady Parish, 80 Union Street in Clinton, Mass., 01510, and earmarked for their music program. Online condolences may be placed at www.philbincomofh.com. In sports news, Lions baseball makes history with Elite Eight appearance, by Bill Marsh, from Georgetown. Despite dropping a 4-2 decision to number 2 seeded Georgetown at Bean Park in the MIAA Division 5 Elite Eight quarterfinals statewide tournament, the West Boylston High School baseball team, seeded number 10, has much to be proud of this season. It marks the first time in program history that a Lions baseball team has advanced to the Elite Eight. The Lions, who won the Midland-Wachusett League D Division Championship with a perfect 12-0 mark, finish the season with an impressive 19-4 overall record. West Boylston faced the Royals' ace pitcher Ty Southall, a junior right-hander, who went the distance, allowing 5 hits while striking out 8 batters. Lions' junior left-hander Jameson LaPointe was equally effective, as he went 4 2/3 innings, scattering 9 hits. He gave up 4 runs, 2 of which were earned. Senior captain Dominic Renzoni pitched 1 1/3 innings and held Georgetown scoreless. West Boylston got base hits from freshman Jacob Petro and Anthony Scola and sophomore Jack Petro in the first, third, and fourth innings, respectively, but couldn't get them beyond second base. Sophomore Evan LeBrock drove in Renzoni with a sacrifice fly to the left field for West Boylston's first run of the game. With one out, LaPointe singled to center, then stole second and third, scoring on a Royals error. Southall got the next 2 batters to preserve the victory. Playing outstanding defense for the Lions was Jack Petro at shortstop. He had 3 putouts and 4 assists in the game. Our guys battled all year, and today was no different, West Boylston coach Tyler Forbes said. Whether up or down, they battled to the last out of the ball game. A couple of bounces here and there didn't go our way, but that's baseball, he said. I told the team to hold their heads up high because they had an amazing season. In order to advance to the tournament quarterfinals, the Lions defeated Turner's Falls and Mount Everett. West Boylston ace Kason Orsiani, a junior captain, pitched in both of those victories. When I took over the program 2 years ago, I set a high standard for the players, and they all bought in, Forbes said. We had high expectations, and we just hit the ground running. We've had a fantastic year, and the team has worked so hard, he said. We had a close-knit group of guys, and it was truly a special group of players. Renzoni, David Scana, Reyes Depew, a captain, and Gabe Marinelli were all wearing the Lions uniform for the first time. Renzoni was the catcher, who also pitched, while Shana was an outfielder and designated hitter. Dominic Renzoni is a generational talent and leader when it comes to being an athlete, Forbes said. He has the knack of being a leader and showing the way. He is someone that you'd want your own son to be like when they grow up, he said. He's a great person, both academically and athletically. You trust him with anything you ask him to do, and he never fails. David Shana is an all-around great asset to the program, Ford added. He plays a great right field and is great at getting on base for us. He's a quiet leader who is always locked in during the games and in practice, he said. Depew is the backup catcher, while Marinelli is a relief pitcher. Reyes Depew is a coach's best friend, Forbes said. He will do whatever he has to help the team. He's a complete team player and has given us some walk-off hits. He, Marinelli, is a workhouse and warrior on the mound, he said. He throws as much as you need him to throw and never questions anything. The team's assistant coaches were Jeff LeGrand, Tony Scolas Sr., and James Caza. The team manager was senior Alex Peralta, who was in charge of social media. In other sporting news, the Midland Wachusett League announced its spring All-Stars. Baseball, Division A, Wachusett, Ryan Flaherty, first team. Ben Floyd, Travis Laidlaw, and Caden Lane, second team. Jack Hayhear, Academic Award. Division B, Neshoba, Nikhil Ciano, and Ben Lamson, first team. Jacob Schwartz, second team, also Academic Award. Division C, Clinton, Brian Sylvester, MVP. Jake Notaro, Josh Nelson, and Grady Frisch, first team. Jake McNamara, second team. Thomas Bates, Academic Award. Division D, Tahanto, Colin Brissett, first team. Luke Stevens, second team. Ben Cummo, Academic Award. Wes Boylston, Dominic Renzoni, MVP, also Academic Award. Kaysen Orsiani, Jameson Lapointe, and Jack Pitro, first team. Jacob Pitro and Tommy Wyatt, second team. In softball, Division A, Wachusett, Cassie Wilkins, first team. Averill Marouf and Addison Weldo, second team. Amelia Powers, Academic Award. Division B, Neshoba, Jenna Gale, MVP, Christiana Babineau, first team, Julia Smith and Charlotte Thoyne, second team, also Academic Award. Division C, Clinton, Lauren Lemansky and Leo Ripoli, first team, Grace Alvarado, Academic Award. Division D, Tahanto, Anna Bidinger, first team, Elise Schaffer, also Academic Award, and Molly Abdella, second team. Wes Boylston, Antonia Bianchini, MVP, Zoe Chila, first team, Emily Petro, and Isa Rivera, second team, Meg Flaherty, Academic Award. Boys Lacrosse, Division A Neshoba, Zach Hodges and Keegan McLean, first team, James Lee Anderson and Connor Pape, second team, Ryan Mitro, Academic Award. Wachusett, Dan Greeny and Troy Greeny, first team. Zach Carignan, Charlie Angiolillo, and Thomas Anderson, second team. Dominic Nelnegro, Academic Award. Division C, Hudson is a co-op that includes item area students, athletes like Luke Lewis, MVP. Ben Lane and Max Gaudet, first team. Connor Kelly and Ken Rondo, second team. Kyle Provost, Academic Award. In girls lacrosse, Division A Neshoba, Caroline Pinto, co-MVP, Sydney Belowitz and Lauren Rickards, first team, Natalie Sanborn, Aubrey Christian, and Kellen York, second team. Katerina Romano, Academic Award. From Wachusett, Allison Jones and Liliana Mitchell, first team, Sydney Marshall, Academic Award. In Division C, Hudson is a co-op that includes item area student athletes, Kathleen Perus and Bailey McNamara, first team, Regina Parham and Riley LeBlanc and Jillian Bradford, second team. The new KP Market opens in Sterling by Ken Cleveland. In talking about the new KP Market, Barry Ahern spends a lot of time on the food. The market opened recently at 110 Lemonster Road on the site of the former Miola's, just off the traffic circle at Choxett Road. The company now has 44 markets, with the Sterling one owned by Carew's Petroleum. Some are franchises, the chief retail and people officer said. It's been fantastic, Ahern said. Everyone has been very supportive during the store's first few weeks. Business has been steady. They tell me they're very happy and it's a great addition to Sterling, he said, as residents explored the new store. The mobile gas pumps in front offer the core options to fuel up the cars, while the store can fuel up the customers. And EV cars are not forgotten. We're installing Tesla charge stations, Ahern said, with two stations that can serve four vehicles, working with any electric vehicle. He noted EV owners charging up can make use of that time to explore the market. Besides typical convenience store items, there is food, lots of food. The food service business is doing very well, Ahern said. Prepared foods include sliced meat on site, and we make sandwiches, such as roast beef and turkey. And we grill burgers, made-to-order steak and cheese, pastrami, and brisket sandwiches. The list goes on. Hot dogs, made-to-order, grab-and-go burgers, and pizzas. Walking tacos, which are Fritos or Doritos topped with brisket or mac and cheese, are available, he said. Grab-and-go breakfasts are made fresh daily, offering brioche, English muffins or croissants, with options for bacon sausage or cheese. Ahern highlighted the market's crispy, clucky chicken with choices including drumstick, wings, tenders, and bone-in breasts, with potato wedges with the combos. Deli options are made daily with a variety of choices. Also offered are gluten-free bread with to-go orders. Made-to-order deluxe burgers are also on the menu. There are sweet choices, too, from muffins baked on site to proprietary muffins and donuts brought in. And all that food needs some refreshing drinks to go with them. Besides two walls of beverages and coolers, there are coffee options, including being able to grind beans. Specialty coffee and hot chocolate help perk up customers as they drive to their next destination, even if it's home down the street. Options include frozen, flavored coffee, nitro-brewed coffee, and smoothies, a healthy smoothie option. There's fresh-cut frozen fruit and a protein shake smoothie for those skipping coffee. Cold Snap features a soft-serve ice cream machine, a countertop appliance that can rapidly produce ice cream, frozen lattes, and protein shakes, all from popping a pod into the machine. Sterling has been helpful in getting open, Ahern said. Our hope is that the townspeople and boards are impressed with how we run our business. An initial plan to also offer beer and wine sales has been put on hold while the town gets to know the new business, with hopes they can get a license in the future. Ahern said the market would be working with the town and is open to sponsoring things. We are members of the community. The new Sterling store is about more than opening just another store, Chief Operating Officer Sunit Sharma said at the grand opening May 28th. We want to create a place that serves the community. We're excited to become part of this community, he said, before presenting a $500 contribution to the Wachusett Food Pantry. And in Lancaster, KP is in the process of rebranding its Racing Mart store on Lunenburg Road as a KP market as well. Hours at the Sterling store are daily from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. Grill hours are daily from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And that's it for the June 12th edition of the Clinton Item. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Peter Wilson. Thank you for listening.
Hello once again, Audio Journal listeners. My name is Bill Ruggiero. It's your latest weather forecast for today. This is Tuesday, June 16th, 2026. Today we'll have mostly sunny skies, highs near 77 degrees. For tonight, mostly clear skies, low around 57 degrees. For tomorrow, we'll have sun in the morning, otherwise cloudy in the afternoon, with a brief shower. Highs on Wednesday near 81 degrees. Wednesday night, showers and thunderstorms likely. Humid, low around 72 degrees. And the outlook for Thursday is called for humid with showers and thunderstorms likely. Highs Thursday near 77 degrees. That, folks, is your latest weather forecast for today. This is Tuesday, June 16th, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody, and please stay tuned for more programming coming up next on Audio Journal. Take care. Have a wonderful Tuesday, everybody. Bye.